Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 1 to 28. As I read through these 28 verses, especially the first 15 verses, I invite you to imagine with me that we are part of ancient Israel listening to Joshua speaking. So as we listen, let us recall what was mentioned of Israel's past experiences. Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 to 28. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. And I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it, and afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the leaders of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I gave them into your hand. And I sent a hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who live in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our Lord and God." But Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And he said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it there, up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we pray that you will lead us through this final chapter of the book of Joshua, as we have covered over the past few weeks and Sundays in this book. We pray, God, that you lead us and guide us, that we come to this conclusion with ancient Israel as we stand before you in your covenant. Lead us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are some words that are very popular lately. They are a set of Korean words, and it has been appearing very often in many places, especially social media platforms. And many people know how to read it, or rather, they know how to sing it. Even many children at the playground are singing these words. It reads, Mungowa kochi piyo sumnida. If it isn't for the COVID restriction, and I am not allowed to sing here, I would have sung it to you. And I'm sure many of you have already known the tune. Yes, it is a song. It is a song or limerick of the children's game of red light, green light, recently made world famous by the Korean drama series Squid Game. But about this series, Squid Game, there is this part that is most touching, at least for me. And that was the marble scene when they were playing a game of marbles. The protagonist on your right, the younger man, he had to partner with this older man who he has come to respect as like a father to him. But the old man told him from the beginning that he had a brain tumor, and he forgot about the game's progress. Now, if it was just a game, it's okay. But the catch of this game is, if you lose this game, you will die. So the protagonist was torn whether to play the game fairly or to take advantage of his dear old friend, especially when the loser had to pay his life. So in this case, for the poor old man, it becomes a matter of life and death just because of his forgetfulness, just because of his dementia. Of course, later on in the story, there's a twist. But the idea of this forgetfulness reminds me how important it is for us to remember and to know who we are. I once knew a professor in my theological college days. He was a very, very smart man, and he could remember all the church history dates and all the records and accounts at the back of his head or at the back of his hand. He can quote dates and names just like that, off the charts. And once he found me sitting at a school cafe writing a research paper on elderly dementia. And he came and he sat with me and he commented that of all the diseases in the world, he feared getting dementia the most. Because having dementia means you forget everything. And if he would forget everything that he had acquired in his life to remember, which to him was his strength, which was what made him a lecturer there at TTC, which was what that made him who he is. And if he forget everything, he said to me, then I am no longer who I am. To forget is to lose sight of who we were, where we came from, and the purpose which drives us forward. To forget is to lose sight of who we were, where we came from, and the purpose which drives us forward. Now for Israel, ancient Israel, they had a forgetfulness. They had a spiritual dementia. They keep forgetting who they were and where they came from and where they should go and what they should do. But praise God that God is a God who remembers and constantly reminds his people to remember as well. Now, as you come to this part of the book of Joshua and Joshua chapter 24, the majority of the fighting was done. The land was divided among the tribes and unity was established in Israel. Here in the very first verse that I read to you, Joshua gathered all the leaders of Israel and said to all the people, he gave them a call to remember all that God had done throughout Israel's history, from Genesis, the book of Genesis, to the book of Exodus, and now to the book of Joshua. Of course, I will not go into details because that will take the whole first five books of the Bible to get through everything. But I'm sure we already knew many of these stories because we already had covered Joshua, Genesis, and even Exodus. But a few highlights here from verses 2 to verses 13. We see that what was here that God made Joshua to cause the people to remember was how God called Abraham far beyond this great river Euphrates. He called Abraham when Abraham was still worshiping other gods. God called Abraham into this promised land and he gave him promise. And from Abraham, he was given Isaac in Canaan, this land. And from Isaac, Jacob, Esau, all these were the forefathers of ancient Israel. Until Moses and Aaron were sent to Egypt to rescue the people from slavery. And all these are written from verses 2 to 5. In verse 6, the Exodus, which is something so poignant and important to the history of Israel. In verse 7, the Red Sea, the crossing of the Red Sea, and their wandering years in the wilderness. In verse 11, they enter into Canaan again, and they went over the River Jordan, and they defeated Jericho, the city of Jericho, as we have remembered from a few Sundays ago, and defeated even the seven kingdoms in Joshua chapter 12. Verse 13 says, Then land finally was given to Israel, which they did not labor for, they did not build, or did not plant it. Now it's very important in these verses 2 to 13, that there is an observation that I made, that God was taking the actions throughout this history of Israel. In the first person, God used the words, I took, I gave, I sent, I plague, I brought, I destroy, I would not listen, I delivered. God, through Joshua, wanted the people to remember what he had done for them, to remember God's faithfulness to his people through the many generations of history, spending more than 500 years. And here summarized in the last couple of lines in the account of Israel's history, here in verses 12 and verses 13, he said, it was not by your sword, not by your bow. I gave you a land on which you have not labored and cities that you have not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. God wanted the people to remember so that they would acknowledge God's faithfulness in keeping his promises. From the time of Abraham, the promises that God has made had came true. God wanted the people to remember so that they would acknowledge God's strength and power that has led them through and has protected them. God wanted the people to remember so that they would be thankful to God. God wanted the people to remember so that they will remain faithful to God. And Joshua told the people, therefore, to remember. In verses 14 and 15, he says, "Therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away all these gods that you have served before. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, if you find that it's not fitting, then choose this day whom you will serve. The God your father served in the region before, beyond the river, that means during the time of Abraham, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell here in Canaan. But as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord." Here in these two verses, Joshua was urging the people, "Therefore, remember all God has done for you. Now put away all these other gods. Be faithful to this one true God." And he says, choose. Choose whom you will serve. And he says that it's like a trick question, the choice that he gave. You want to choose the gods of Abraham beyond the river Euphrates? Or you want to choose the gods of Amorites? Both are actually wrong answer. And he gave the answer. He says, "I will choose to serve the Lord, the God." But here he's showing them these options so as to show that there's no force here, there's no coercion to serve the Lord your God. And it is like a redundant question, actually, a rhetorical question. It's like, are you sure you want to follow these other gods, man? After you remember everything that God has done for you, you sure you want to follow all these gods? That reminds me, you know, it's like a time when I was with my daughter. She was playing with her friends at the playground. And at the end of the day, we said, "Come, it's time to go home." And my daughter, 6 years old, she would sometimes say to me, "Daddy, I don't want to go home. I want to go home with my friends." And I was standing there, I said, "Sure, go home with your friends, law. But you won't be able to see Daddy and Mommy tonight, oh? Oh, you won't be able to huddle together in our cozy bed. We won't be able to have dinner together." Then my daughter will realize, oh yeah, if I go away with my friends, I will miss out Daddy and Mommy for tonight. And so in the same way, Joshua is like asking them in such a manner, a rhetorical question. You sure you want to follow these gods? You sure? But he added, "For me, as for me and my family, my household, I will remember and serve the Lord." And the Lord here is capitalized to refer to Yahweh, God of Israel. That means Joshua knew that no matter what choice that Israel choose, you want to choose this or that or choose anything else, Joshua knew that his answer is to serve the Lord his God. He posed the question, but even as someone who posed the question himself, he knew his answer. He did not have to wait for others to reply. For us today, brothers and sisters, we have to remember God's faithfulness. We have to remember God's faithfulness in our past so that we can be committed to be faithful today. And we don't have to wait for others to respond if they choose this or that. We don't have to wait for others to serve. Then we serve. The decision is for you and you alone to make. The decision is for you and you alone to take. The choice is yours. So the choice was given by Joshua to the people to choose, albeit rhetorically. But let us see the choice that Israel decided to take. Let's find out what Israel replied and responded to Joshua's challenge. In verses 16 and 18, the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples from whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who live in the land. Therefore," this is the answer, "we also, like you, Joshua, and your household, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." So there you go. That was Israel's answer. They would not serve other gods. They would remember God who rescued them out of slavery. They would confess God's great signs and mighty deeds and acknowledge that God was the one who had kept them safe, and God was the one who gave them the land. And so, therefore, they would serve only God. Looks like the people has chosen the obvious choice, isn't it? The right choice. They go with the option of what Joshua has said also. He will serve the Lord, the God. Sounds good, right? Sounds like a good answer. But only to hear Joshua give a snark response to their choice of answer. In verse 19, Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord." What? You tell us to choose this or that or anything, so we say we choose the Lord, the God. We choose Yahweh. And now you reply and say, "You are not able to serve the Lord?" What do you mean by that? You know, it's like someone telling you, no, if you maybe at your canteen or your pantry, and then maybe a colleague was asking you, "Hey, this apple very nice, no? I buy from market. You want or not?" Then you say, "Yes, yes, yes, I want." Then you say, "You cannot, leh? You cannot have it." Or maybe you are having at the canteen, don't drinking iced coffee, and then you ask your friend, "Hey, you want or not? Iced coffee very nice, eh?" Then your friend say, "Yes, yes, yes, I want." They say, "Go order yourself, lah." You know, it's like this. No, Joshua is saying, "Which one you want to choose? I will choose God." And everyone say, "Yes, we will choose the Lord." But you cannot. What does it mean? It seems like a redundant response to a redundant question in the first place. Only that it isn't a redundant response or redundant question. As I explained earlier, Joshua's question or his offer or his challenge was not a mere choice, but it was a rhetorical challenge. That means, are you sure, man? You remember God's faithfulness? Are you sure you want all this? It's rhetorical. It was a challenge for the people to remember God and be faithful to Him. And so Joshua's response here wasn't a redundant one soaked in malicious sarcasm. Rather, it was a warning. A warning meant to wake Israel up in the commitment of their choice. "So you have chosen the Lord. But," he's saying in verse 19, "you are not able to serve the Lord. For He is a holy God, He is a jealous God, and He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and you swim, go back to serve other foreign gods, He will turn and He will do you harm and consume you after having done you good." Now here it says that God is holy and jealous and will not forgive sins. It is a callback to the recent event of Achan, remember? When Achan sinned against God, and he had to go through the consequence, the punishment. And so Joshua is telling them, "You sure you want to serve the Lord? You sure you want to follow the God? Then know this, there may be punishment and consequences if you turn away from Him." And continue in verse 26, you say you will serve God, but should you not hold to these words, this promise, and you go back to serve other gods instead, God will turn and bring harm and destruction to you after having done you good. You know, it is funny to see that even in such a warning, God still reveals His faithfulness side. He ends there at the end by saying, "after having done you good." That means God will still hold on to His good promise to do Israel good. And He had done so. He has already done so. Do you good. And He fulfilled His promise of land to the people. But if you turn away from Him, there will be consequences and there will still be punishments for the sins. So even in spite of the people's forgetfulness to keep their faithfulness, God will still remember to keep His faithfulness. In spite of the people's forgetfulness to keep their faithfulness, God will still remember to keep His faithfulness. So after this part, in verses 21 onwards, there was some back and forth that follows to ascertain and cement the people's surety and certainty in the promise that they were making. From verse 21, the people say to Joshua, "No, no, 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 we will still serve the Lord." And Joshua said to them, "You are witnesses against yourself and to serve him. And they say, "Yes, we are witnesses." And then he said to them, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Incline your heart to the Lord." And the people say to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." So you see here in verses 21 to 34, and I highlighted in red and bold, that Joshua actually challenged the people three more times. And the people declared their commitment to God three more times. "We will serve the Lord. We are witnesses. The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." Joshua continue to urge the people to declare their commitment of faithfulness to remember God. And it was only with such repeated declaration of commitment that Joshua finally made the covenant with the people from verse 25 onwards. And this covenant was did with the people with statutes, rules, words of law, and finally a large stone of witness of the new covenant. Now, why did Joshua ask the people so many times? Four times, in fact, that he asked and challenged Israel in verses 15, verses 20, verse 22, and verse 23. He challenged them four times. Why? Because Joshua knew the people would not remain faithful to God on their own. So he made them to remember God's faithfulness, to make a commitment, and to be the witness to their covenant with God. Brothers and sisters, it takes commitment to remain faithful to God. Israel would forget and become unfaithful. You know, it reminds me of the time when our Lord Jesus Christ was challenging his disciple Peter in John chapter 21 to feed and take care of his sheep and lambs. When Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus asked again, do you truly love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I know you. You know that Jesus was asking Peter three times, and Peter was getting frustrated. You know I love you. Why you ask me? And Jesus said, feed my lamb, take care of my sheep. Sometimes we need that reminder. And this repeated process, like how Jesus was urging Peter, do you love me? Take care of my sheep. Do you love me? And we need this repeated process for our brains to respond and to sink into our heart's commitment. We need the reminder and the repeated process for our brain's response to sink into our heart's commitment. Today, I can ask all of us, are you willing to serve the Lord? All of us will say, yes, 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 of course, I will also serve the Lord. But that is our first brain response. Does it sink into our hearts? Will you serve the Lord? Yes, I will, of course. Will you serve the Lord? Yes, of course. Will you serve the Lord? But you asked so many times. I will. It needs the repeated process for us to think of our brain's response to sink into our heart's commitment. Just as Joshua challenged Israel four times with the same question, and Jesus challenged Peter three times with that question, may the Word of God challenge us again and again daily, how we are to commit ourselves in following Christ today. And I can think of three words: faithfulness, commitment, and remembrance. In faithfulness, just as Joshua challenged Israel to choose to follow God, the same challenge is given to us today. We have a choice. For Israel, it was to choose the God that of the Abraham beyond the Euphrates River, or the God of the Amorites, or any others, or the God, the Lord, Yahweh. We do have a choice in choosing to follow God today or to follow other gods in our lives. No, I didn't follow other gods in my life. I'm faithful to God, to Jesus. I'm a Christian all my life. Are there other gods of passion that takes away our desire in God? Are there other gods that takes away our commitment to God? Are there other gods that takes away our time and worship of God? It could be things that disguise itself as something good, a hobby, harmless hobby, but a hobby that distracts us and takes us away from the time that we should be worshiping God and should be committing ourselves in prayer and ministry. Then we have to check our faithfulness to choose to serve the Lord. The second point is commitment. Commitment is required if you want to follow God faithfully. You want to be faithfully, you want faithfulness, number one, you need commitment. And just as Joshua challenged Israel four times to commit to God, and Jesus challenged Peter three times to love him and take care of his sheep, it takes commitment. It takes commitment in marriage, doesn't it? To live by the commitment to our vows. Our church has been going through a few weddings and a few more weddings that's coming. And last Saturday, we just witnessed the holy matrimony between Wayne and Kuro. You know, and as they stood before everyone, and the witnesses, and they say, I do, and they say the vows to each other. That was the commitment that they give. Is it just a vow to say, okay, and then tomorrow I forget about it? No. You commit to the vows that you made. You live by it. After 5 years, after 10 years, after 15 years, turn back to the commitment that you have made, the vows, and you will remember, and it will draw you back to that faithfulness in the marriage. In the same way, we need that commitment to draw us back to the faithfulness with God. In parenting, parents with children, we need to commit. We need to commit the time and energy, right? Nobody forces us to have children. But when you have children, you can't say you come back home from work and say, darling, I'm too tired to spend time with my kids. Say, today you bring the kids out, you teach them, you play with them. Can we do that? No. It takes time. The child may cry 4 or 5 times in the night and you have to get up. It takes the commitment of time and energy. And we do it. We commit. And we bear faithfulness in so doing. And we show love. Still to the children. Now, brothers and sisters, to grow in Christ requires commitment also. Just this past week, I was at a playground and I met this stranger, this man. He came up to me and he says, can I have $1? So I took out my coin pouch. I thought that he wants to change for $1. He said he wanted to buy a drink. But it turns out that he's asking for $1. And my daughter was beside, say, Daddy, why you give him $1? He's asking for $1. I said, no, I think uncle is asking to change $1. And then the uncle said, no, I want $1 to buy a drink. I said, something wrong. So I said, okay, why do you want to buy a drink? He said, I want to buy a Coke. I said, buy Coke, why? He said, I have no money. I want to buy a drink, I'm very thirsty. I said, hey, brother, $1 to buy Coke, Coke not good. You say you don't have money, right? And you drink Coke, bad for your teeth. Your teeth spoil, you need to see dentist. More money, how? Let me teach you a better way. You want $1, right? I buy you mineral water. And I went to Sheng Siong. I bought a big bottle, 1.5 liter water bottle, or mineral water. 1.5 liter, $1. And I show him, see, brother, $1, it can quench your thirst. Go for such things. Don't go for all these sweet things. And then we started talking, and I walked with him and asked him things. And he said, hey, you're a Christian, right? I said, yes, I am a Christian. And he said, yeah. Actually, I go to church, you know. I go to the church down the street in Punggol. So I go to the church down the street. And can I come to your church? I said, sure, but my church in Ang Mo Kio, you want to come? He said, no, I think I'll go to the church down the street. But he stopped going. I said, why? The church down the street is quite good. Then he says, no, because as much as I want to be like the pastor, the pastor there, very good, no, I want to be like him. But then every time I go, they tell me to do Bible study. I don't want to do Bible study. I say, hey, hello, brother. You say you want to be like the pastor? But you don't want to be doing Bible study, how can? It doesn't match. You want to be of that faithfulness, it takes the commitment. You need to do the Bible study. You need to read the Bible. Then when you get to understand the Bible, then you will grow in faith. You need a commitment. The growth of reading the Bible daily. For here in our church, we have many avenues for us to commit to reading the Bible. For example, the upcoming in November, we have the 2 Timothy ABC online series. 6 lessons. Commit. 6 lessons together. We learn 2 Timothy together. The commitment for those of us who are involved in the spiritual parenting, 1 year mentoring of reading the book Roots and Wings together. It's a commitment. But let's do it together. And through the commitment, we will grow and we will grow in faithfulness. There are many people here in this church also have shown faithfulness and commitment. Our cell group leaders, they continue to minister to us even through this time of COVID. It's not easy, you know. Last time was, y'all come to my house, so we just read Bible together, we sing worship together. Do you know that our cell group leaders, it's tough. They have to learn to do everything on Zoom, right? And then we have to do everything online. It's not easy, but they commit to it. Our children ministry teachers, some of them say that they want to give up teaching virtual. No, every Sunday they have to teach virtual. Whoa. But they still keep going. And may God bless them. Our worship leaders, when it used to be when they sing, everyone will sing along. But now they're singing alone only. We cannot sing, we only clap. Our worship leaders have to learn new skills to sing to the camera as we do the recording. We need to be creative. But we see that many of our people here too show that commitment. If you find that you need that commitment, surrender to God, ask Him to help you. Finally, remembrance. Verses 2 to 18, is the whole chunk there was telling us to remember what God has done. Perhaps with COVID, brothers and sisters, we are losing steam. Right? Church, no, not so many people can come, only 144 at the most, right? Then just stay at home, Lord, to do live streaming. Maybe we, after a while, those of us who are live streaming, we conveniently forgot about live streaming. In fact, are you all still live streaming or are you all watching? No, Sunday, never mind, I wake up at 11 o'clock, I still can catch live streaming or not live streaming anymore, pre-recorded later. Are we still worshiping together at 9 a.m. to make it a point to wake up, even when we are at home, to catch the sermon together one day a week? What about all our other areas of ministries? Are we still attending Sunday school, our children? Are we still attending cell groups? Are we attending prayer meetings? Are we attending the gatherings, the e-gatherings, at least online? Don't stop meeting. Don't stop going CG. Don't stop having accountability to someone here in church. Don't stop having people to ask you how you are doing, be it here or at home. And there are many ways that we can remember God and what God has done. Recently, my cell group was sharing with me one of them was sharing that she has this Thanksgiving app. And she learned to use this app and every day type in her Thanksgiving. It's an app. And there's plenty of all these apps there that can help you to write in your Thanksgiving. And you remember, it reminds you. Another brother of my cell group says that he used his mobile phone's notepad to write down God's goodness in his life. And as he read it, he remembers how God has been faithful to him. A few weeks ago, Reverend Shuman also said that he used a Daily Bread app as he wakes up in the morning to read the Daily Bread app. I have it too, and I also make it a point to wake up, instead of checking WhatsApp, checking CNA or anything, listen on the Daily Bread app, and he has a reminder, and read just a short article, but it refreshes and makes us remember God. We've come to the end of our Joshua series, and as you think back, the journey of Israel crossing the River Jordan, entering into the land of promise, Canaan, and how they have victory over Jericho, the seven kingdoms, all these the stories that we have heard, Rehab. There are many applications shared by many pastors and many speakers. Which one do you remember the most? And which applications can you learn and remember? Brothers and sisters, it takes remembrance, commitment, faithfulness to fulfill the covenant with God. One last point I just want to quickly share with you. You know, I think that people are often forget to remember. You know, Israel often forget to remember, right? They always forget to remember. That means they are forgetful. And we too, we always forget to remember. But God remembers to forget. What does He forget? He can forget our sins. You know, when we come to Him, He will forgive. He will forgive as we come to Him, He will forgive and He will forget. But He will remember to us and He will remember His promises to us. So brothers and sisters, let's not forget to remember, but let us remember to remember. I have some reflection questions that's on your bulletin handout, and I also want to share with us here. What is one lesson that you can remember from the whole Joshua series of sermons? And what is one thing you can do to practice this lesson? I give us some time to think about it, and I don't want you to just think about it and forget about it. It takes commitment, right? So, with all these applications, what I want you to do is write down Write it down. One lesson that you learn and one application that you want to do. Okay, write it down. Submit it to your cell group leader. Okay, don't worry. I won't say compulsory, but I'll say strongly encourage. Okay, because I don't want to be legalistic about this. But I'll say do it so that there'll be some accountability and some commitment. Tell your cell group leader the application that you want to be committed to. So that someone will hold you accountable. And let us be a community that serve together and encourage one together. Let us pray together. God, we thank you for bringing us through the book of Joshua. From your calling to Joshua, telling him not to fear, but to be strong and courageous, for you are with him. To the time that you lead him to lead the nation of Israel across the river Jordan, as they step into the waters, as they build this memorial of stones to remember how you led them through, as you sent them to do to walk around this big city of Jericho, and how it falls even without them raising their hands, but they merely just worship you. To remembering about how you rescue Rahab and her family because of their faith in you. To the lesson that we learn of Achan as he went against you and did not listen to your commands and instructions. To how you brought them into the land and defeated the seven kings, and how you have brought them victory over the Amorites, how you have helped them through and through and divide the land for them and established that they are able to even have unity with one another on the eastern side or western side of the river Jordan as the 12 tribes come together to remember one another in unity as they learn to even deal with their conflicts with one another. God, you have taught us so much through this journey or this adventure as we walk through with Joshua and Israel. We pray, God, it's not something that we listen and we forget, but it'll be something that we will remember. We remember these histories, remember these stories, that there is a God who is faithful and powerful, who will help his people and who will keep his promises. And Lord, even as we reflect upon our lives, may we too learn to be faithful, to commit to you, and always to remember you. Help us, Lord. Help us such that we will learn to apply what that we have learned. For it takes remembrance, commitment, and faithfulness to fulfill our covenant with you. Bless us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.